The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you the news for the past week. And I trust everybody had a Merry Christmas, and I'm happy for that. If you didn't know, we had a government shutdown. I didn't know. You know, I don't work for the government, and I don't have any friends that work for the government. So far, nobody's been suffering. I do feel bad for the people who are not able to get a paycheck during this time. Because, it's especially Christmas, you know, the season, people are broke and they need money because they've spent it all frivolously on others. But, when the government shuts down, because I'm not affected, and I understand that this is very selfish, but I actually kind of like it because I feel like we're saving a lot of money. But I don't know if this is true because I've been told, and remember, I'm just a regular guy, okay? I'm not some, you know, super know-it-all politician, lobbyist, whatever. I just see what I see, right? But I have been told that the people who work for the government, some of them anyway, still get paid. They just don't get paid during the interim, right? They still have a job. And I've also heard, and again, I don't know if this is true, that they can decide what parts of the government get shut down. So I had heard that Obama had shut down all the national parks to get people mad at Republicans, right? So they go to visit, I don't know, what's a national park, like Yosemite or something like that. And then it's, they can't get in, right? And now they're mad at whatever party they believe is responsible for the shutdown. Now, I heard some polling, of course, it comes from a biased source, but I heard that 33% of Americans are in support of the shutdown and everybody else is mad, right? So I don't know how true that is. But, NORAD is still open for business, which is good. You know, we need to have defense. Very, very important. But the story that I looked at was Christmas related. And they told me that NORAD was open to track Santa. I'm sure they weren't open only to track Santa, but the story said that they specifically were tracking Santa and that this is a tradition that had lasted for 65 years. So NORAD has been wasting our time for 65 years now with the delusion that, Trump got in trouble recently because he kind of possibly gave away to a kid that he was talking to. And he said that, do you believe that Santa, do you still believe that Santa exists, is the way that he put it. But I think the kid was 7 years old. So I don't know what the cutoff is. All right, I'm trying to be vague on purpose here. I don't know what the cutoff is, but, I mean, 7 years old is, you're kind of getting up there. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really give the president any flack for doing that, although he's taken a lot. He has taken a lot of flack, for this. And it's just very funny because then he said it's something along the lines of like it's iffy at that age. it's great. I think it's great how blunt he is. Everybody's mad at him all the time, but I think it's fantastic. Anyway, you know what the government shutdown reminds me of? And again, I'm speaking out of a position of ignorance here, but I feel like it's like running Windows in safe mode. Does everybody know what Windows is, right? The operating system, Windows. It's famous. You're probably listening to me on it right now. And when I run Windows in safe mode, everything runs the same, but the icons are huge, right? And I don't stay in safe mode because I feel like I'm not supposed to be doing it, but I really should probably, you know, I should probably just be like, you know, yeah, the icons are huge, but if my computer ran all this fast all the time, if it always ran this fast, why don't I just run it in safe mode, right? I'll take it. But I'm always worried that I'm going to lose data or that I'm going to use some application that needs whatever Windows does outside of safe mode to run. I'm afraid the Windows police are going to come and yell at me for not using Windows properly. And again, honestly, I really haven't tried to run. I don't record this show in safe mode. So I don't know. Maybe it, safe mode is really bad for some reason. But to me, safe mode is great. It's lightning fast. And, you know, this government shutdown, I feel like we're saving a ton of money. And everything is the same. Again, we do, you know, I realize that the people who work for the government are in trouble, and I feel bad for them. But if it weren't for that, right, is it really so bad to be shut down, right? We still have defense. You know, the power is still on everywhere. So what's the problem, right? If you're going to shut down the government, I would shut it down over not having enough cuts to the budget, not laying off more people. You know, I think we've got too many departments, too many people. They're saying that the Department of Homeland Security right now doesn't have funding. I mean, good. What do they do? They were just created recently. What do they do that the military can't do, right? The military doesn't have operations to, protect the homeland. We need to have a whole separate department for this. The argument was that the departments didn't talk to each other. So if they just had one department, then, you know, everybody would talk to each other. But why don't they just all talk to the military? Again, I mean, I admit, I don't know how it works, but to me, it seems like you're adding another department now. Now there's more to worry about. There's more interdepartmental competition. Now, the reason I got on the NORAD story was because I had seen it in this article that I'm reading. This is from Huffington Post. And it says here, 600 surfing Santas make a big splash in Cocoa Beach, Florida. Right here in Florida, guys. And, it's just like it says. 600 Santas of all ages, sizes, and genders joined forces to hang 10 en masse on Cocoa Beach. They've been doing this since 2009, not as long as NORAD's. 63 years is how long NORAD has been tracking Santa for. But if they're tracking these Santas, they got their hands full. Man, that's a lot of Santa Claus there. 600 surfing Santas. And what a fun way to live life, huh? What are you doing for Christmas this year? Well, I'm going to dress up as Santa. I'm going to go surfing at Cocoa Beach with 599 of my like-minded thinkers. That's fun. So there's no snow, but plenty of water. Now, if you want to go somewhere and really have a white Christmas, I'm telling you, you ought to look at these pictures. This is gorgeous space images are making people want to skate on Mars. I mean, like one person tweeted ice skating goals, but the picture is of a crater on Mars that is filled with ice. And it's amazing when you think that this is just on another planet. You know, I remember when I was a kid and went to Disney or one of those, and the little informative blurb, maybe it was a planetarium or something, I don't know where this was, but I do remember, I feel like it was Disney, but I do remember, or Epcot, I'll bet it was Epcot, I do remember that the bit of information I got was that they did not know if there was water on Mars, and scientists were arguing, and some had reasons why they felt that all the water had been evaporated into the atmosphere, and others said, no, we can see traces of ice, what we believe are traces of ice. We do think that Mars does have water. And so it was a little debate back in the day. But apparently that's been answered, because while I wasn't looking, we've been exploring Mars. These five images were taken by ESA's Mars Express spacecraft, which first entered the orbit around Mars in 2003. And is still active today. The agency released a composite images this week in honor of the 15-year anniversary of the spacecraft swinging into orbit. So it's been for a little while now that we've had that question answered. And of course, now it follows that if there's life, if there's water, is there life? Because, you know, water, the way that we know it, supplies life. Life needs water. So if Mars has water, then maybe Mars has life. I mean, it would almost have to be, right? Now, I remember a while back they said that they had found life on Mars or one of these planets, the moon or something, and then they figured that it was just contaminated by Earthlings, you know, when they touched the rocks or whatever. But who knows? Maybe they have come further on that front. Here's another story that I came across while looking at, you know, just weird stories here. This is actually an old story. But I'm going to read it. This is a former manager of DOD, Department of Defense Aerospace Threat Program. UFOs are real. He's a 25-year veteran of the CIA Directorate of Operations. Lockheed Martin Program Director for Advanced Systems at Skunk Works and a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence. Now, I don't know how hard it is to do that stuff, but that sounds like a pretty good resume to me. But he says that they would see these UFOs and they would check them out. And that UFOs are real. Now, of course, UFOs are real because UFO stands for unidentified flying objects. So there are objects that we see and we don't know what they are. It doesn't mean that they're aliens, right? But this dude says that they saw an object one time and they measured it. Let's see here. This was a 2004 incident involving the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz, which was detected on two separate radars. Two F-18 approach. The four aviators see that the object has no wings or exhaust. It's white oblong, some 40 feet long and perhaps 12 feet thick, he said. One pilot pursues the craft while his wingman stays high. The pilots are astonished to see the object suddenly reorient itself towards the approaching F-18s. In a series of discrete tumbling maneuvers that seem to defy the laws of physics, the object takes a position directly behind the approaching F-18s. Now, if this is real and this happened, how hard are you freaking out at this moment, right? The lengthy event occurred in broad daylight off the California coast, and gun camera footage was taken. At one point, the object went from hovering at 80,000 feet to dropping at supersonic speeds and came to a complete stop at 50 feet above the ocean. More F-18s are dispatched, but with similar results, Melton stated. The secret machine easily evades the F-18s. Dozens of military personnel aboard the various planes and ships involved are privy to these interactions. Tom DeLonge's final message today sums up the position of all involved. No one person, one government, or one hidden institution should own this information technology. So, that's crazy, man. if it's real. You know, again, and someone's resume could sound amazing, and then he's like, well, I know there's money in if I write a book or something, so who knows, right? But we do know that there is one person, at least, whose position has been used or abused, at least to the point that he's been kicked off of Facebook. So let me build this story here. The Washington Post writes, a report prepared for the Senate that provides the most sweeping analysis yet of Russia's disinformation campaign. So I've changed topics, guys, all right? But this is a recent story, okay? So this story isn't. So this came out when they were doing the hearings, right? A report prepared for the Senate that provides the most sweeping analysis yet of Russia's disinformation campaign around the 2016 election found the operation used every major social media platform to deliver words, images, and videos tailored to voters' interests to help elect President Trump and worked even harder to support him while in office. Now, first of all, this is a bunch of BS. You know, this amazes me that a place like the Washington Post is seen as just this bastion of news. I think their motto is democracy dies in darkness. But then they can print stupid stories like this. All right, so now why would I say that story is stupid? It's because if you listen to it, it sounds like the Russians have launched a massive disinformation campaign to get Trump elected, right? First of all of the... These were troll farms, okay? This isn't like a big internal operation like the CIA would launch, right? These are what they call Russian actors, Russian operatives. They're in Russia, but they're not doing anything. And if you don't believe me, the CEO of Google went in front of Congress. See, this is why the story is such a phony news story. It's because they drum up this hysteria by using these generalizations and things that sound specific. Oh, a report said this. But they don't actually give you physical numbers, right? Do you know how much the Google CEO said that the Russians spent with them? Now, remember, Google owns, of course, Google and YouTube. The answer to how much got spent from the Russians on their big disinformation campaign was $4,700. $4,700. A government wouldn't even bend down to pick up $4,700, right? You know, you'd think it would be billions of dollars for influence, at least a couple of million. You would think it would be at least a drop in the bucket compared to the Hillary Clinton campaign and even Donald Trump's campaign, which was a fraction of Hillary's. But what do you get, $4,700? Probably most of the people listening to the show could drop $4,700 and match that, right? $4,700 to a government, to a campaign. $4,700 is like an over-under error, right? It's like, oh, I missed that. All right. So anyway, this report that the Washington Post is citing was created by a group called New Knowledge, okay? And the CEO of New Knowledge, his name is Jonathan Morgan. Jonathan, it's like Jonathan, but with an O-N instead of A-N at the end of his first name. Jonathan Morgan. Well, he's been kicked off of Facebook. Why? Because he was interfering in the Roy Moore campaign. The thing that he says that the Russians did in his report, he was doing that against Roy Moore. He's working in favor of the Democrats. Isn't that so funny? So Facebook kicked him off. I think Facebook is a pretty liberal organization. And they got rid of him for his shenanigans. So that's hilarious. Now, Jonathan Morgan has worked, I guess I should be saying allegedly, on all of this stuff. I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble, but I mean, you can look this stuff up yourself. He has been kicked off of Facebook. So, and there are news stories saying that this is the reason. Now, he himself has admitted to interfering in the campaign. But he says that the reason was because he was doing it as an experiment. So here's the quote. We orchestrated a... This is from an internal report from New Knowledge. We orchestrated an elaborate false flag operation that planted the idea that the Moore campaign was amplified on social media by a Russian botnet. So what they were saying was that the Russians were interfering in the Roy Moore campaign and that the Russians were on Roy Moore's side. So the same people that are in trouble for that, they also have told the Washington Post that the Russians are interfering. And it's so funny because those same people also, New Knowledge is a technology company. Well, they don't call themselves that. What do they call themselves? But it's a company that's selling technology to help curb interference, foreign interference in the elections, like Russian interference. So, of course, and they're a government-aligned group. And this guy is like worked for the government in various positions here, right? Special advisor to the State Department. And so, of course, it's in his best interest to make people think that the Russians have more influence than they actually do, so that he can protect us from it. Isn't that so funny? But in actuality, the person who was interfering with things was him and his group, the New Knowledge group. So amazing. You know, every one of these Russian stories you look under and they just, they're like clouds, right? They look like something, but you check them out, they're vapor. They're just gone. And never to be heard from again. Well, that's not true. I wish they would be gone and never to be heard from again. And that when a newspaper printed another story about this Russian garbage, that they would be like, well, we should remain skeptical because this happened and that was proven false. And this happened, that was proven false. So we should see if this is going to be true or not. No, it's always new bombshell. And you know what? People come out and they don't remember the correction if one is even issued. And they just quote what they remember from the report. So, you know, somebody's not going to, didn't get to see the story that the Russians spent $4,700 on Google and YouTube, right? All they hear is that the Russians were on every major social media platform, was what that story had said. Massive disinformation campaign, right? I couldn't sway anybody. And it wasn't even like they were all memes for Trump. There were memes for Hillary and for Sanders and for Jill Stein, too. So, you know, it was just in all directions. I don't even think they were trying to influence the election, per se. I think it was just trolling ads to get you to click on it so you'd buy something. You know, so far, no proof with Russian collusion. Did the Russians interfere in the campaign? Yes, I mean, I'm sure, the same way that every government interferes in everyone else's campaign. But I don't think that means that we ought to go and hire New Knowledge to protect us. And it definitely doesn't mean that we should start censoring everything to protect us. I mean, I can look at a stupid ad that says Hillary's a devil and then make up my own mind as to whether or not that's true. Now, I'm not going to tell you the direction I'm going in, but we don't need protection, guys, all right? We're okay. We can make up our own minds. Protect us from real things, right? Like missiles and bombs and stuff like that. Don't worry about it. We can sort out the fake news ourselves, all right? Thanks anyway. Don't do us any favors, okay? Well, I guess it's time to go. Thanks for joining me for another week, everybody. I'm the Ed Man. This is the Howdy Kill an Hour radio show. I'll see you all next year. I only use that joke once every year. But it's a dad joke, I admit it.